All right, smiling Irish bastard, you ready for another podcast?
I guess I am.
Okay, glad to hear it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my podcast, podcast number 9, lucky number 9.
I don't know why I put up with abuse week after week,
well, apparently. You're holding a drink, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I am.
We have no sound effect this week.
But we do have some background chatter. We are recording live from the Luau Lounge here.
Yep, I thought it was a tiki hut.
Close enough. I don't know. There are drinks. There's umbrellas in them.
There's straw scattered around. Let's call it straw.
Sure.
It's festive.
And we do have an exciting announcement. Yes, there is now an official sponsor of the Simca Fisher podcast. It's the Devil's Epoxy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It binds.
All right, that needs a sound effect.
We'll have to come up with effect. That. But the folks at the Devil's Epoxy, I'm sure will get us something.
I'm waiting. I'm on pins and needles.
I hope you haven't signed the contract yet, have you?
I have. I'm waiting for. I keep on burning myself with a pen.
Yes.
Just waiting for it to cool down a little bit. So I can
steal my pens. That's why.
Oh, here, have your pen back. You. Good heavens. Oh, communal property, my ass. So anyway. I got called the Devil's Proxy on Facebook today, and it was early in the morning. It was way too early in the morning for that kind of thing. And
you get the best names thrown at you.
It's true. I get a lot of it's my current favorite. My second favorite was when somebody called me a heretical hose beast. Wow, that just came straight from his heart. I could tell.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
But you get called names a lot in your line of work. You're a crime reporter, making a lot of friends.
Well, I've moved over mostly to politics.
I remember the time you asked Jean Shaheen if she intended to strip naked as part of her campaign.
Pose nude when she was running against Scotty Brown.
Yeah, well,
it's fair enough. I thought I was going to get tackled by a Secret Service agent at that point.
But, yeah.
She cackled and we moved on.
She cackled, we moved on. That's what they should make t-shirts about. Never mind this she persisted stuff.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah.
First of all, I don't have anything to say about it because this is politics free, right? But yeah. The thing that bothered me was within like 7.5 minutes of that she persisted thing happening, Facebook was trying to sell me 11 different products with that.
Cafe press world, you know. Everybody
yeah, but
can
it was.
It really
I know. I know. But it was.
And
just,
it was Mitch McConnell, basically acting as the Washington generals for the Democrats.
Anyway, no politics. Move on. Cackle. Move on. Here. So tell me,
yes,
if you would, about the various names that you've been.
Well, mostly it's just asshole.
Well, mostly you are. Well, so what are you going to do?
I've always thought I'm more of a son of a bitch.
Well,
in any event.
Oh, the kids are looking at us now.
I know.
It's terrible.
It is.
Back to your game, children.
Keep playing Clue.
But you do get thrown out of places, though. I've been banned
from a number of places. That's like first job as a reporter. I got banned from a property.
Yeah.
A couple of properties. For some folks I was reporting on, I've been banned from.
It was something about like they have rats in their kitchen.
No, it was some crazy thing. They had this historic property and they wanted to just drill down and mine the water for a specialty water company. And no one wanted to do that because then no one in town would have water.
So you got banned.
I got banned from their
water.
Property. Oh. I wasn't allowed to drive by.
You weren't allowed.
I wasn't allowed to walk on their property and get pictures.
Get off of my property!
I would drive by and take pictures from the street just to annoy them every day. Is what I would do.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it was fun.
But nowadays, you would probably just cackle and move on.
I think so. I've been banned. Let's see. I've been banned from Ramunto's Pizza.
Pizza. Yep.
Because I wrote a story that they weren't. I wrote a story when they were fined by the government for not paying their employees. I've been banned from the Twin State Valley Speedway.
oh no!
When I wrote about the sale of the racetrack,
I went to the speedway one time, And I could not believe that people go to the Speedway. It was the dumbest day I'd ever spent in my life.
Lots of bellies hanging out of t-shirts.
Well, maybe mine was too, but it was just, it was noisy, mm-hmm. and it was cold, and it was boring. And I was like, why did I leave my house for this? I said, noisy. That's the same as loud. But it was just, it was not, I don't know. I don't understand. I guess I don't understand. I do not understand it. On the other hand, though, as soon as I heard that, like, NASCAR is having to change its rules to make it more exciting because, like, people nowadays don't want to sit in a hard seat for 6 hours and watch cars drive around and around. I was suddenly all, like, up in arms because of what a short attention span our culture has and how terrible it is that they can't even watch cars driving around in a circle. What have we done to ourselves?
Well, it's legitimately boring.
It is. It most certainly
and it's,
is.
It's yeah. almost it's almost as boring as a baseball game.
Oh, see, and that brings me to my final point, because I was thinking about this. There's actually one last place that you were kicked out of.
Yes.
And that was my parents' house.
This was before we were married.
Yeah, and you deserved it.
Oh, yeah. I would have thrown me out, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, another thing that would have gotten you kicked out was saying that baseball is boring, so don't do that.
I won't do that.
Okay.
I won't. But... Oh, I can't make that next joke. Move on.
All right, cackle and move on, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, wow, we're moving through this list pretty, pretty fast.
That's not good.
You want to give me a worst thing? I have two worst things I've ever seen.
Let's go with your worst things.
Okay, because it's been a bad friggin' week, I'll tell you that.
First of all, it's school vacation week,
which
is also known as teacher dereliction of duty week.
Exactly. Why do we pay taxes? Why do we pay taxes?
Did we lose a war? Is this Mexico?
No politics, please.
I shamelessly rip off that Simpsons line any chance I can get.
That's a good joke.
But yeah, no, they get the week off in February when everyone was feeling dreadful anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably the middle of February originally.
The worst.
Yeah. Well, everybody's...
Were they trying to keep the teachers from offing themselves? Is that the deal? Because, but now, like... What are we going to do for a week? Send the kids off to camp?
We went outside today.
In February?
We went outside today.
That's true. It was a nice day today.
It was beautiful. It was lovely. I don't have anything at all to say about that. We went outside for a while. And then Corey, who is she's almost two. She's going to be two in a few days. All she wanted to do was climb up the back stairs. And she says, "What's me, Mama?" And then she climbs down the stairs and she jumps off the last one. And she says, "Dumbo!" She says Geronimo. She goes, "Dumbo!" And she jumps off. And she did that like 412 times in a row. And then she didn't want to go inside, so I had to bring the slide inside.
Yes.
Which was sort of unfortunate because that's why we had supper at 7 o'clock today. It was that kind of day.
As long as, whatever works.
Mm-hmm. And then you came home and you went to the laundromat because the washing machine is broken.
Oh, that washing machine.
I know. Everything will be better when we have a new washing machine.
Yes. Well, at least we'll smell better.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so... My worst thing, anyway.
You have a couple good worst things.
You don't know about the bad, really bad one.
Well, let's go with the one I know.
Second bad worst thing is glitter ash for Ash Wednesday. If you go, wait a minute, I can find the website. If you go to Parity, /glitter-ash-wednesday/, that's... already more effort than you really ought to put into this.
.com.
It is .com. You know, it might be .org. Yeah. It has a little bit of a .org feel to it.
It's not .edu.
It's just, no, don't say that. You can't say that on this podcast. So, I don't know. I tried to read it a couple of times, and I guess it's like, they're gay, and it's Ash Wednesday, and you... glitter in the ashes?
Is there...
Because...
Does anybody on the website use the word fierce?
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure...
Have we done it? Let's do... Can you do a quick search for fierce?
I will do that. I see something about thwarting.
Wow.
Thwarting. Yeah. No, I'm skimming. I'm not seeing anything, but it is called glitter plus ash instead of, like, glitter and ash, or glitter slash ash.
Is this like Romeo plus Juliet?
Yes, with that sweater song, the pinks, the cardigans. Anyway, so It's okay, I'll tell you. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the season of Lent because glitter plus ash is all about stepping up instead of, quote, giving something up for Lent. We are suggesting that people commit a Lenten action, colon, a specific action chosen by you to promote resurrection.
How are you going to promote resurrection?
I don't know.
Are they going to be, like, shooting electrodes into little dead frogs? You're going to be stitching up somebody with Abby Normal's brain?
Yeah. Hashtag Abby Normal. I think that's where we're going
to... I have so much sympathy for folks who are trying to be Christian and gay, but it's...
I know.
It's not helping anybody
because the whole point of Ashes is that, guess what? We're all the same. We're all going to die, you know? And the worms in the ground eating your body don't care if you're gay. They really, really don't, you know? There's no like setting apart at this point. There's no like drawing attention to yourself or making a stand or
You're stripped of everything. It's supposed to
be a bullshit free day, okay? Can we have one bullshit free day of the year? Honest to goodness. I mean, Ash Wednesday. Well, that was the second stupidest thing.
Right,
the subset of the stupidest thing. But you know what? How much they're charging for these ashes? For this glitter. Because it's just like glitter and you put it in the ashes or something. $10.
American money.
I've been to Walmart. Yeah. And I've seen glitter. It did not cost $10.
Huh.
And there's no photo of it on the site. There's just an add to cart button, so... All right, that's all I got.
What else is there to say?
Are you ready?
I'm ready for
my second worst thing. This is far, far worse thing than I have ever done on this. It's called... Wait a minute, I wrote it down. Oh, it's upside down. It's called Menses. Menses. Does this ring a bell at all to you?
No.
Okay.
I'm frightened here. What are we stepping into?
Okay, so it looks like a regular ordinary tube of lipstick, and it's in a little lipstick tube. But what it is, it's some kind of like natural oils and amino acids, and it's for women who are currently experiencing their period. Mm-hmm. And what you do is it's basically glue. And you go ahead and just glue it shut. And I am not making it up. You just glue it shut. And the idea is that when you pee, it naturally dissolves the adhesive. And then you just like, you're sitting in the restroom at Arby's and you just sort of casually like glue it up again, I guess. I don't.
Arby's, huh?
And oh, guess what? It was invented by a man.
I believe that the good folks at the Devil's Epoxy have a similar product.
I was astonished at the beautiful confluence of things that I don't want to think about.
Just holy cow. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Like that is the worst thing ever.
It does not, like so many things today, it does not appear to be parody. No. So that was my worst thing this week. I
don't have any worse things.
You don't
things.
Have anything.
Well, it's
you got a thing.
I don't know.
All right, you want to talk about that movie we saw? You want to talk about guns?
Let's talk about it a little bit. It's because I guess it's getting a lot of attention, but
in New Hampshire, where we live.
Which has really, really lax gun laws to begin with.
Because most of the people who carry guns carry them because they are hunters, and they got to get their pheasant.
Right. And there's plenty of people, and they carry sidearms and they conceal them. It's a $10 permit. It's good for 4 years, and almost nobody gets rejected. The city that I cover, last year they had 1,500 applications, and they rejected 30 people.
That's more than I thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, the background check is pretty lax, but to get your permit to carry a concealed weapon, you go to your local police chief, and they go beyond the federal FBI check that you do when you buy your gun. And they check things like, well, have we been to your house for suicide calls in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Which has happened when people go get their permits. Yeah. Or they found people who had guns who shouldn't have been able to have guns. They had felony convictions on their record.
Right.
And how they got the gun in the first place, I don't know. So anyway, the Republican legislature for years has been trying to get rid of the requirement to have a permit. And they finally did it because we have a Republican governor.
Yep.
Chris Sununu.
Yep.
And this was really in opposition of what every police chief in New Hampshire wants.
So let's just sum up what effect has the law, what is the law, what does the new law say?
Starting when it was signed at noon today, mm-hmm. anyone who has a gun is able to conceal it and carry it concealed.
So you don't have to have a permit. You can stick your gun in your pants. You can put it in your backpack.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, and this is somewhat of a decent argument. The New Hampshire allows for open carry, so if you wanted to walk around like John Wayne with your six shooter, that's legal.
Oh, which I've seen at Walmart, and it has the effect of making everybody go to the other side of the store.
Exactly. And so, all of a sudden, without the permit, if you covered up that gun with a coat, you would be committing a crime.
Right.
But now we don't have the permit requirement. Anybody can carry a gun. It what it means is there are going to be a few people, because there are very few people who are rejected. Now those people can just go ahead and carry guns around.
Right. And it used to be that the chief of police, and imagine a small town. I mean, we come from a town, or we live in a town that has fewer than 2,000 people in it.
Yeah.
Chief of police knows us. Mm-hmm. Dog barked at him today specifically, you know. And if you would go and get a permit, he would already have a pretty basic idea of, you know, who you are, what your issues are, what your history is, what your reputation is in town, and he would be able to make a prudential judgment about whether or not it's a good idea for you to have.
And the law says shall issue, so mm-hmm. the chief is compelled to issue that permit mm-hmm. unless he has good reason to.
Right.
And it's usually for the most part, it's mental health related. Right. You can have mental health issues that aren't going to show up on your background check when you buy the gun. And
yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, they were interviewing a chief of police of some town or other, some little town or other. And he said, you know, in the past, occasionally some guy would come in and he's having spasms and yelling at people who aren't there. And he remembers, you know, this guy because he's been to his house several times when he's having some kind of hallucinations or something. And now there's nothing he can do to prevent the guy from carrying a gun around. And he says the way the law is written, there's also no protection for the police, so that if the guy does use his gun to commit some horrible crime, it is possible that the police could be sued for not preventing him from having a gun, the way the law is written.
I don't think I've read the law. That's not
there. Oh, you don't think yeah, so? All right, well, that's so. Good.
I think that's a bit. Police unions and their spokesmen, they're good at hyping too.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's the case.
Well, I hope not, because
no. I believe that legal protections for police are pretty high. You've got to clear some hurdles to sue a cop.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Well, anyway, boy, that was a downer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's talk
speaking of guns.
And don't get the wrong idea. We like guns.
We have guns.
Yes.
But
you shoot them, they go kablamo. It's fun.
It's fun. It's super fun. You go out to the range. They throw those clay discs up in the air.
Yeah, and they make them explode.
And the amazing thing is, you know when you're going to hit that sucker. You know when you're going to miss it, and you know when you're going to hit it, because when you're going to hit it, your hand just floats over to the right spot all by itself.
Yeah,
it's a weird feeling, but every single time, and that thing just flies apart in the air.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like
it. It is good. It's fun.
I like it.
We got to go up again.
We should.
Once the
snow melts a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of guns, we did see an excellent, excellent movie.
Shotgun Stories,
directed by...
Jeff Nichols,
who directed Mud, Gimme Shelter.
Take Shelter. Midnight Special. I want to see Midnight Special and Take Shelter.
Yeah.
He also directed Loving... The movie they made about the Loving case.
Yeah.
And he is an Arkansas-based filmmaker, and he's just fantastic.
He is fantastic. He's amazing. He's a real artist. I've seen two movies by him, and the most amazing thing is the sense of place that he creates. And I always, you know, before I just get lost in the movie, but I always at some point ask myself, how is he doing this? How is he making you feel like you know this town? You feel like mm-hmm. you're there. He just, he knows what shots to take. He knows where to place the camera. I don't know what it is, but you never feel like, you don't feel like you're watching a movie. You feel like...
Well, I think because he's from where he's yeah. making movies about,
yeah.
he's not viewing it. He doesn't feel the need to explain everything. So it's not so much like a travel documentary.
Right, where, exactly. He's not like, this is what kind of tone it is. But he just shows you, he shows right. you the things that...
There's no condescending to the characters and to the place.
Yeah.
It just
well, that was the thing that really struck me about this movie, because, I mean, I'll set it up real quick. It's funeral of a man. And, the grieving widow is there, and his grown sons are there. And halfway through, they're reading "The Lord is My Shepherd," and these other guys show up. Well, this isn't the exact start.
This isn't the exact start. It's a good start for the premise. Yeah,
yeah. Three other guys show up, and they say, "I want to talk." And the widow says, "Okay, you let him talk," but there's some tension in the air.
Obviously, yeah.
And the guy says, "You're all here because you think this is a good man, but he's not." And it's his father. This is a man who had three sons and a wife, and he was an alcoholic, and he was violent, horrible person, and abandoned them, then gave up drinking, turned his life around, became a Christian, got himself a new wife, had four more sons. So there's the three old sons and the old wife, and then there's the new wife and the four new sons. And you can imagine there is some tension. some tension there, and the guy spits on the coffin of his father.
Yeah, and that starts the blood feud
that propels the story. Yeah,
well, it doesn't start it. It sort of explains what's been going on.
Right, but that's the interesting thing, because you feel like up until that minute they've been separated from each other for some reason. They've been waiting till the father dies.
Yeah.
For things to really. They've been in some kind of weird unhappy stasis until that point, is the impression that I got.
The three boys.
The three boys and the four boys, they're obviously aware of each other, and there's some history there. But it doesn't seem like there's been a feud up until now, exactly, or not an active one, anyway.
The thing is, the three boys from the old family mm-hmm. don't have names.
Yeah.
Like, they're named son and boy and kid.
And they don't make a big deal out of it, That's the thing. You gradually start to realize, like, whoa, those people don't have names. Like, the dog has a name. The mm-hmm. dog is named, like, Jeremy.
Henry. They don't have property. And the new family... They're farmers. They have this big, rich farm.
Uh-huh.
The boys from the old family, two of them work at on a fish farm.
Yeah, it's dirty, greasy, oily, wretched work.
They're working for somebody else, and it's not even a real farm. And you know the oldest brother, he's the one who has, you know, the status of having a truck, but this beat up little Toyota, and the sons from the new family, they drive all these big, nice Ford trucks.
Yes, they have these beautiful trucks, and they have a tractor and everything, and they have they have land, and they all have their own guns, and they have this, you know, beautiful cut glass in the window and everything. And at one point, one of the other sons needs to get a gun, and he goes to a pawn shop and gets a gun, takes that out of his truck, and he opens it up.
And it's disassembled.
He doesn't know what to, he doesn't even know how to put it together.
By the way, it's a Remington 870 shotgun, pump action. Very nice. I own that.
That's
one of my guns. Right? Yeah,
but you did have to learn how to put it together.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy to. But
okay,
still.
But anyway, the point being, they have lived a very different life, and what you were saying before about how the director doesn't show any condescension toward the characters. I mean, they're propelled into this horrible, violent, almost I don't want to say senseless feud, but it's like. You know, nothing good is going to come of this.
Right.
But there's no like, oh my, we must see the senseless of violence.
There's no moralizing about
violence. No, there's no moral. I mean, you feel like, well, what else could they possibly do?
Yeah.
You almost feel, I had the sensation that it was sort of the first meaningful thing that they had done in their lives.
Well,
some characters more than others.
Yeah, well, those boys, they were, it's the movie starts with them through circumstances. They come together after having been apart for a long time.
Right.
Boy, son,
true.
And kid.
Yeah.
And they're all together when they hear that their father has died. So it's like they were brought together for that moment.
Yes, there's a, I mean, there's a real sense of heavy hanging fate and death. You know, when I was watching it, I was thinking it seemed like Shakespeare. Now that I think of it, it seems more like a Greek play. Yeah. You know, boy, including the there's this guy. Oh, he's like
shampoo.
Yeah, he's got a patch over his eye, and you can imagine that there was some sort of explosion in his shack or whatever.
He's first introduced. He says, "Yeah, I had a fire at my place, and the cops are there, and they got all kinds of evidence."
Well,
living in his car, and he's a character and a literary device, but you don't really notice he's a literary device because he's able, because of who he is, he's able to move in all circles. And
right.
And so,
right. He's sort of that, he's that in between guy. I mean, that was one of the first things that made me think of a Shakespeare play, because he's that fool character who has that special privilege of sort of zooming in and out and delivering news and then just taking off again and exposing and revealing things and taking off again. And nobody really expects anything of him, but he could just come in and say whatever he wants to. But it's not making it sound contrived, but it's not.
It's
very natural. Very natural.
There's nothing wasted.
Yeah. And so, okay. So who's the guy who plays the...
Michael Shannon. He is so good.
What a face on that guy. Can you imagine what he looked like as a baby?
About like that.
Yeah,
so probably
that's
scary. Very scary looking dude.
Yes.
But he is so good. He plays the Prohibition agent in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. It was really just one of the best characters in any TV show.
Yeah, talk about scary. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And there's just so much. I mean, he does not say a lot. But for every word that he says, there's 11 different emotions on his face, and you can see every last one of them. Oh my goodness, his face is so, I don't mean like his face is like jumping all over the place and expressing different things.
No.
There's just so much there. He conveys so much.
He is awfully good. And he is in the movie Mud, which we saw, and he has a small part in that, and he's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Because he's playing a character who's just kind of a layabout, kind of a goofball.
The no good uncle.
Yeah, the no good uncle who's, and so you don't recognize all that tense weirdness that he usually brings to his other roles because he doesn't have it there, because that's not what the character
is. And I gotta say, I mean, after I watched the movie, I realized he is not in fact the main character.
Mm-hmm.
The main character is my favorite.
Boy, who lives in the van.
Yeah, he's got this kind of scruffy beard, and he's a little bit pudgy. He lives in this sort of wood-paneled van down by the river, and he's a part-time high school basketball coach or something. Like, he's nothing, not terribly ambitious. And he's, like, at one point he tries to install a window unit air conditioner, like a full-size air conditioner in his van. He's not successful, but in the process he's managed to, like, short-circuit it or something.
Yes.
So sometimes he's driving along, you know, talking about life and death matters, and the radio comes on, or it's like a cassette tape stuck in there.
And it's a cheesy power ballad.
Right.
And it's just, oh my
God. And there's nothing he can do about it. He just has to wait it out until it stops. And it's just, I mean, it's a funny movie in parts. We laughed out loud several times, but so intense. And it didn't feel, it was weird. Like, it felt like, wow, this is kind of a slow-paced movie. And then I realized it's an hour into it. This is not a slow-paced movie. It's just,
it knows what it wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's a slow burn, and it doesn't stop burning at any point.
If we can, before our next podcast, we should watch the movie Blue Ruin, which is another awfully good drama, much more violent.
Okay.
A terribly violent movie, but it's very good, that I think you would appreciate that.
All right. Violent is good. I like violence. I'm in favor.
For the most part.
I am a vertical hose beast.
I think we're going to cackle and move on.
Cackle and move on, friends. Holy mackerel. It's almost, what do we got? It's almost a half hour now.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I did not prepare a poem for today. I'm very sorry about it. My excuse is that I've had 13 kids in the house all week long, and I'm almost dead. And I don't want any damn poetry right now. But next week, maybe I'll have two poems, or maybe I'll just have one. What are you going to do about it? Take back your dollar?
Shh. If it wasn't for the devil's epoxy, we would be in a lot of trouble right now.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
All right. Well, there you have it.